Get ready to drop the puck, take a free throw, and step up to the plate. It's time for the Metro East Sports Podcast on lineupmedia.fm.
Broadcasting from the Lineup Media Group studios in Edwardsville, Illinois, this is the Metro East Sports Podcast. I am Colin Surrey alongside Dave Leip, Bill Roseberry, and you guys, what a jam-packed week of sports. And before we get into that, let's just talk a little bit about anything exciting we've had going on this last week.
Go ahead, Dave. What do you got going on?
Not much. Just gearing up for boys tennis season at EHS and working on the futures and working on the podcast. So just a lot of work. You know, we're in that in-between phase toward the end of the winter and all the winter sports playoffs and staying busy.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same, you know, just lots of work at wrestling regionals yesterday and, you know, different things like that. Tonight I'm actually getting to go to a concert. I do that from time to time. I'm going to see Queensryche, which was a 80s and 90s kind of progressive metal band. I don't know if you're Silent Lucidity. You remember that song?
No.
From the early 90s? You don't?
I'm not a metalhead like yeah. You are.
Well, that's not a real heavy song. But yeah, I'm going to see them at Del Mar Hall. Going to hit up Mission Taco ahead of time. You guys been to Mission Taco
yes.
before?
Yeah. Excellent.
Right. Yeah, place. I'm excited about that. Now I'm going to make myself hungry.
Well, there you go. Well, you guys have all these other fun things going on. I just want to let you guys and our audience know this is the highlight of my week. This is what matters to me. So we'll get right into it with the high school sports roundup. The Bank of O'Fallon shootout I had the privilege of attending last night. What an incredible atmosphere. I took a picture and I sent it to you guys just to show you right. The Panther Dome completely packed to the ceiling on each side of the floor. It was an amazing atmosphere. And right when I got in there to watch DJ Stewart, 5-star recruit, and I know he's from Whitney Young and he's a Chicago kid, so it's kind of outside of the realm of what we're covering, but it shows you why these schools are having these shootouts. To see little kids hanging over the railing on the ends of each court, just jumping up and down, running around, so excited when they're watching a 5-star recruit that's going to Duke slam the ball, possession after possession. It's just a great thing for the community and something that really inspires the next generation of athletes to get involved in these type of sports.
This is exactly why the Highland shootout sells out a week before it happens. You know, this is exactly what Dana Morgan talked about last week when I was at the Alton shootout, about what they're wanting to build there, you know, with their AAU, you know, contacts. They actually had a guy who's a finalist for a McDonald's All-American from Evansville, Indiana there that's going to Creighton. So, I mean, you know, they had the kid from Trinity's going to Creighton. He was there. That kid from Evansville is going to Houston. So they were trying to get some of that in. But O'Fallon and Highland are so established. I saw Bradley Beal and Myers Leonard sitting just several feet from them. I saw you remember Tommy Anderson, Dave? He was a point guard for Waldo.
Tommy?
I watched Bradley Beal put one dribble around him and dunk from the free throw line, and I was sitting right under the basket in the gym in Highland.
And Tommy Anderson was a great defender too.
Yeah, he went on and played at Quincy.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And that was kind of the calling card of his game, was he's good at moving his feet, good at stopping that first step, and to see Bradley Beal just completely smoke him tells the story.
A future NBA All-Star, yeah. And I saw him, you know, in Highland. Like I said, I was sitting in the bleachers right there under the hoop when he did it. I'll never forget it. It's one of the coolest things I've gotten to see since I've been doing this job. And that's why they bring these shootouts around here.
And getting to the biggest highlight of that shootout, Simeon takes down Collinsville 54-45. Simeon used an 18-8 third quarter to help propel themselves to victory. And it was a situation, guys, where at the beginning of the game, Simeon comes out and they're ultra-aggressive on defense. I mean, everyone knows that Rayshon Taylor has that electric first step, and their strategy was, we're not going to let him get that first step. We're going to pressure him so much, we're going to face guard him off ball, not let him try to limit his touches. And Simeon, on the first possession, picks up two hand-checking fouls. I believe, actually, one was a block, another one was a hand-check. And it backed them off a little bit. Collinsville goes on a 7-0 run to open up the game. And then Simeon kind of ratcheted that defense back up again, and it gave Collinsville fits. And throughout the game, Rayshon Taylor just became less and less effective. His really biggest moments of the game were when he could get into the open floor, start with the ball in the backcourt, and just weave through traffic, get that head of steam up and rolling, step through players, leave one off for his teammate at the rim, assisting his other players, or pulling up. He's got a great mid-range game, not much of a shooter, and Simeon just in the half court, they hunkered down and really limited Collinsville's offensive possessions in transition.
And somebody else needs to step up and score in those situations, though. I mean, because if you're putting help defense on Rayshon, that means somebody else is wide open. And if Collinsville wants to excel and make it far into the postseason, somebody else, whether it's Nate Hall, who was hitting shots early in the season a lot, or the point guard's first name escapes me, Smith, some of those guys are going to have to hit shots too, if Rayshon's going to be keyed on like that.
And Smith is a great ball handler. He's not necessarily going to be a guy that's going to fill it up. Hall did have a good game. I believe he had 15 points in that game, and he's a good shooter from the outside too. So it's something that kind of brings a little bit of the pressure off of Collinsville. But really what kind of hurts them is they've got some good big guys that can rebound the basketball really well. They're just not much of scorers. Right. And Taylor is wanting to get to the rim. He's wanting to get around that painted area. And when you have some bigs that aren't necessarily scoring threats, it just makes it that much easier to key in on Taylor. And something that really hurt them in this game was Simeon moving to the box and one in the second half. And that's really what led to the big third quarter run that jumped Simeon out on top. At halftime, the score was 24-22. Collinsville was on top. So they controlled most of that first half. They got off to that quick start. And then the box and one defense, it's throwing those multiple looks at them, I think, is what really gave them a little bit of trouble. And you saw the depth of Simeon, a team that is established, that has a long track record. I mean, you're talking about Jalen Tate, Kendrick Nunn, Jabari Parker, Derrick Rose. This is a school that has had plenty of big-time players come through it.
And every single one of those guys coached by Robert Smith, he's been in those big games. He's seen everything come at him. I was at the Super Sectional a few years ago when Mark Smith was the Mr. Basketball in Illinois, and they had A.J. Epinesa. That Edwardsville team was really loaded. They were just shocked by that speed that Simeon brings at you. AJ was stronger than everybody. There wasn't anybody that could post up, but as soon as he would touch the ball, there'd be three guys on him, and he was making all his movements quicker, and it was throwing his touch off, and he couldn't score. And Mark, they almost just made obsolete with their speed. So yeah.
And Taylor talked about that aggressiveness and speed that came at him with the box and one after the game.
We got to witness a boxing one, so we gonna practice against a boxing one because we gonna see it again for sure now since we got beat. The team's playing that, so we're gonna do what we can.
So there's Rayshon Taylor talking about that boxing one and just the different looks that they're being shown throughout the season and how difficult that is to deal with. But of course, another big talking point from that game, although in a loss, Rayshon Taylor goes for 12 points. He goes over 2,000. He's now at 2,001 points for his career. And here is Rayshon again after the game talking about reaching that milestone mark.
Even in a tough loss, I got to reflect on my high school career. And that's a good accomplishment, and I'm happy with it.
So certainly happy about the personal achievement. The team achievement not there as they fall 54-45 in that one. And also another score from that shootout, O'Fallon beat Chaminade in overtime 50-49. So that was a fun game and good for the home team to get a win there in their own shootout.
Is Rayshon 40 points away from Tom Parker's all-time scoring record at Collinsville now?
Yes, I believe so. So okay. That'll be interesting in these next couple of games. He'll have a shot to eclipse that mark as well.
Yeah, they're at Alton this next Friday, and then on the following Tuesday, Edwardsville will be in Collinsville. So it should be one of those two games. I'll actually be in Alton, so, I kind of like to see him break it break it there. I'm sure the Collinsville people want to see him break it at home, though.
So definitely something to watch there. That is your recap of the Bank of O'Fallon shootout. Now, let's get into some wrestling because we're into postseason. There are some really exciting things going on, and Edwardsville was incredibly impressive in that regional matchup. And here is Coach Wagner talking about 8 of the 10 guys coming away with first place finishes in that regional experience.
I thought 8-for-10 was a great showing in the final, especially some of the matches we won. Super proud of Caleb Harold, man. What a match. To be called from Quincy, and really pleased with his efforts. I thought Austin Bauer, first time here at the regional, come through, winning in a dominating fashion in the finals. I was really impressed with him. Lloyd coming through the weight group that he did. You know the story on that. Four really, really, really good heavyweights in the state of Illinois, and to come out on top. And he just keeps plugging away, doing what he does. I'm super proud of him. And that's up and down the lineup. I thought Drew and Dylan Gavilla both wrestled nice in the finals, got the championships. Luke Odom, of course, kind of does what he does. Right. It's easy to take everything for granted, but he's a super wrestler.
So there's John Wagner, the head coach of the Edwardsville wrestling team. Dave,
Bill, you talked last week about the heavyweight division in this tournament this weekend. Was it everything that it was supposed to be? And who didn't make it? Who was the unlucky?
Absolutely, it was. I mean, I talked to John. I don't know if we had a quote there. Maybe we were talking off when I didn't have my recorder on. But he agreed with me that this might have been one of the toughest brackets he can remember, too. You had four top 10 finishers there. And you're four top 10 wrestlers in the heavyweight division from the state in the regional together. Only three advance. So what happened was Lloyd Reynolds from Edwardsville, he beat Kyle Hughes 2-1 in the semifinals. Wow. From Alton. Last year, Kyle had beaten Lloyd for a regional championship. So that put Kyle into the third place match. And it was Olmstead from Belleville West advanced to face Lloyd in the finals, and all these matches were down to the wire. They were like, it would be an escape. There would be 1 point different or whatever. So Mason Hewitt from O'Fallon was facing Kyle in the third place match. Kyle was behind, I think, 2-1. He got him down and pinned him late. Wow. In the second, very late in the second period, and he was able to advance. Hewitt was just in the corner, inconsolable with the coaches, with Glenn Exton, longtime O'Fallon coach, and the assistants. I mean, one of them knew that they were not going to make it out, but they all four should have made it out. I mean, they were all talented enough too. So,
and Lloyd Reynolds talked about how difficult that bracket was, as Bill, you were able to catch up with him after he matched up.
This whole season, it's been tough because I knew everyone was coming back this year. It wasn't going to be easy, but I trained hard either way, all summer and all in the whole season.
And you can hear him out of breath as he just finished.
That was right after, yeah.
Yes, taking on that match and coming away with a first place finish in the regionals. And something you mentioned earlier too, him losing to Kyle Hughes, what kind of motivation that was for him coming into this postseason experience?
I was really pissed after last year because I wanted to beat him so bad, and I never beat him until this year, and really just happened. All the hard work's finally paying off.
You can tell clearly a motivated individual there.
Well, so I used to work with Kyle's dad years ago. I have a pretty good relationship with him, and we were talking afterwards, and they were so excited. He said, these four boys have been wrestling against each other basically their entire lives. They all know each other. They're all friends. They're all trying to, one up on the other one, but everybody kind of knows what's coming, from the other guy. And so, when Mason Hewitt lost to Kyle, they embraced in the middle of the mat, and it wasn't, Mason wasn't mad. He felt good for Kyle, and I'm sure he felt good for the other guys too, but it was still just devastating because he knew his career was over. But, he embraced with Kyle first and told him, congratulations, great match. And you could tell that there was a friendship there.
It's classy.
Mm-hmm.
So the heavyweight, certainly a huge storyline coming into that regional final. And also, we would be remiss if we didn't mention Luke Odom, passing certain in his record at Edwardsville. And Bill, you caught up with him and asked him what that was like passing a legend who had just moved on to Mizzou.
Yeah, it's cool. We're two of the best in Edwardsville history, so proud to be up there with them. I mean,
maybe had a little rivalry going between the two of you.
We talked about it last year, some. Yeah, he kind of knew it was going to happen, but we're just proud to be the top two and just be up there together.
And that's the voice of a champion right there.
Right. Yeah. I mean, these guys not only. I mean, they're really close friends too. I mean, they are as good as they are because they wrestled against each other in the wrestling room. You know, John put those guys against each other all the time. They've been wrestling against each other for years, so they're really close friends. And for them to be 1-2, I mean, I kind of put John on the spot and was talking to him. I'm like, I mean, you know, this is a coach, Dave. You don't want to say, yeah, so and so is the greatest player I ever had. Because you've had so many and you have personal relationships with these people and their parents and everything, you can't really put yourself out there. But, you know, John admitted that these two guys are really special. I mean, like he said, Noah's a state champion and Luke's a three-time state placer already. Those are things that never happened in school history. So they've kind of, their resume speaks for itself.
Those two boys took that program to another level. The team was already at a high level, but those two boys took it to yet another level.
And Luke Odom is trying to take it to yet another level. You mentioned a three-time state placer. He's still trying to chase that elusive state title, and here's what he had to say about that.
Yeah, for sure. I still have that state title to get, so I'm just still striving for that.
And again, you hear these guys that are very accomplished, but they're still hungry. There are still goals out there that they have not reached. And that's a great sign for a team that, you know, the last thing you want to see from a dominant squad is complacency. And certainly this wrestling squad does not have that.
No. And now they'll move on to these individuals and move on to the Quincy sectional next week. We also had 2A regional at Muscoota. Triad was able to win that. As dominant as Edwardsville has been at the 3A level, Triad has been equally dominant in the 2A level. So they're moving on. And oddly enough, this is the weirdest thing about it. So Muscoota hosted the regional. They're hosting the sectional again next week. That's a lot of work for the school, which is kind of cool. So all those guys will be right back in Muscoota. Zeke Waltz from Jerseyville, I'd be remiss not to mention him because Jerseyville doesn't have this rich – great wrestling history, really. Zeke is ranked second in the state and is undefeated right now. And so he won a regional championship there, and he's looking to maybe be their first state champion. And then in 1A, Vandalia won the Wood River Regional, and we had some local kids, Altoff, Wood River, Roxana kids, move on. They'll be in... I can't remember where the sectional is right now. I'm drawing a blank. But, yeah, they move on to sectionals next week. And then state will be the following weekend at Champaign, the individual state tournament. When Edwardsville and Triad will move on into dual team sectionals and have a chance to go to dual team state down the road too.
So big things happening in wrestling and something that we'll follow in these next couple of weeks as you laid out the timetable for what's going on with wrestling. But there were some huge results in cheer as well as there were some state results and some big time things happening for multiple schools in the area, guys.
Girls basketball included? Is that where you want to go to next? Or
yeah, we could hit up girls basketball here.
Okay. The Tigers move up number two in the state now. Another strong week for them. Still only one loss to Incarnate Word Academy. And Lori Blade has the Tigers just rolling through people week after week, it seems like.
And again, just a well-oiled machine. You know, at this point, it's almost their dominance is boring. Like a lot of these big dynasties that we see in sports, you know, people are sick of seeing Alabama in the national title game. People are sick of seeing Duke basketball make deep runs in the NCAA tournament. That's kind of the mantra that this Edwardsville right. girls basketball team is taking on. And as you may know, a lot of people love to hate them, but a lot of people love them as well.
Yeah, and I think they're at the point now where they make the most news if they lose. It reminds me of Martina Navratilova in the 80s. The only time anybody covered her or she made a big splash was if she lost. She won so much and was so dominant. And I think the girls' basketball team at EHS is right there.
Yeah, and they'll be a number one seed when the regionals start in a couple weeks. We're still one more week of regular season for the 3A, 4A schools. 1A, 2A girls start regionals this week. We're going to have one right here in Edwardsville. Metro East Lutheran is going to host a 1A regional, and Father McGivney is the top seed in that regional. They've had a nice little run here at the small school division. You know, they obviously get overshadowed by an Edwardsville being right there and some of these other large schools that have done really well, but they've put together a nice little season. We'll also have 2A regionals in Carlisle and Gillespie. Breeze Modern Day is the top seed up in Gillespie. The number two seed, Breeze Central, is down in Carlisle. Wood River will be down in Carlisle. Marquette's the four seed in Gillespie. So you'll probably have a Modern Day Marquette final in Gillespie. I'll be there Thursday. I'll try and get some audio for that for next week too.
And also going back to where I was trying to go before you became the host of the show, Dave.
Sorry.
Going with cheerleading. I know there were some big results in state. O'Fallon, seventh, I believe, in co-ed. They placed in the state finals. And some other big results too as well, guys.
Yeah, we had – so in small school, you had Roxana place sixth. In medium teams, Columbia was third. We had in the large school division, Edwardsville was eighth or locally, and then in the co-ed division, O'Fallon finished seventh. So some really good results from local teams here at the state.
I think that was a program high at Edwardsville. I think that was the highest that they had ever finished, and so they matched their program high.
I believe that was the highest for Roxana as well.
And I know some people out there, I don't know that it's that large of a population anymore, but they might be scoffing at the fact that we're covering cheerleading right now. And Dave, you caught up with Aaron Meyer a couple of weeks ago, one of the cheerleading coaches at Lincoln Middle School here in Edwardsville, and she had some great things to say about maybe some of those naysayers about cheer, what they don't understand about the sport.
The athleticism. People have no idea how difficult these routines are. It is 3 minutes of the hardest sprint that you can do. It's no break, you're running constantly, it's fast paced, you're throwing people in the air, you're throwing your body around, and you don't get to stop until it's done. There are girls, thankfully we didn't have any major injuries, but I've seen girls break a bone on the mat and keep going, and then as soon as it's done, they collapse and have to be carried off the mat. It's super high intensity. They've gotta have strength and a lot of stamina, and people do not realize that it is truly a sport and not just yelling on the sidelines.
So just a little bit of insight into how serious these girls are about these competitions, and again, great results for some of the local teams at the state level in cheerleading. And now moving on to bowling, what's been going on in the high school world of bowling, guys?
Well, the boys' bowling season's over already, but we've gone into the girls' bowling season. They started with their regionals yesterday. Jerseyville hosted a regional. There's only one class in bowling because of the limited amount of schools, but Jerseyville hosted the regional. Collinsville came away a regional champion. They gathered 5,864 pins, which was they won by 162 pins over Highland. Highland was second. They advanced. Top four teams advanced. So it was Collinsville, Highland, Vandalia, and Triad all advanced. Edwardsville was on the outside looking in. They finished fifth. So, you know, we also had several individuals from the area go on. So the sectionals will be next weekend in O'Fallon, and then they'll go to state. And the state tournament's always in Rock Island.
For the boys?
Or Rockford. No, boys are done. This is girls.
And and mentioning with the boys, Collinsville finished sixth at state. So that was the highest finish for a boys team from the Metro East area too. So kudos to them on their boys state finish at the state level.
Collinsville's having a pretty nice year athletically here so far.
Collinsville's had a great year this year.
They certainly have, and it's great for the area. It develops more Absolutely. Rivalries, brings Absolutely. More notoriety to the area, and something that's out of the usual expectation for the area. I think that only helps build interest in sports in this Metro East area. So that'll do it for the high school sports roundup here today. And we just want to let you guys know to make sure that you go to Yo Radio. You can stream the show live on Yo Radio. Get the app now on the app stores or at YoRadio.com. And remember to go to our website at MetroEastSportsPodcast.com. We've got rankings for different sports of teams from coaches in the area. You'll definitely want to go check out those rankings and let us know if you disagree. Let us know if you think they're good ratings. We want your feedback here on the Metro East Sports Podcast. And make sure you subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts to make us a weekly staple of your sports information and just get involved with the show. We want that interaction from you guys. So follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and on Instagram because we want to get all of your feedback as we move into the college report now. And Bill, you caught up with SIUE women's basketball. You were at a game there on Thursday. Tell us a little bit of what you observed from that experience.
Well, I noticed a pretty passionate fan base while I was there. There weren't a whole lot of people there for the women's game early on. But as the night progressed, more and more people came in, there to support SIUE, which was great to see. The women played phenomenal defense against Morehead State, but man, they have trouble putting the ball in the hole. I mean, offensively, they struggle. They don't shoot very well, but their defense kept them in it. That was their first overtime game of the season. And unfortunately, they ended up losing to Morehead State. They've really struggled this year. But then I got a chance to catch up with head coach Paula Buescher afterwards and Allie Treckler, who's all-time leading scorer at Civic Memorial High School. She's a junior there now, leading scorer and leading rebounder at SIUE right now, too.
And some of the comments that Paula Buescher had about Treckler speak to the identity of that team. You talk about the hard-nosed defense. Here's what Paula Buescher had to say about Allie Treckler and her toughness.
We miss when she was out. So she's got that level of toughness. She's got a good basketball IQ, and I'd like to give, she isn't going to take all the credit for the toughness. She was coached pretty tough in high school, and I think that pays off. I mean, I think that shows that, she handled that stuff, and she's brought that right to the college level. It wasn't that she walked in and we made her tough. She was made tough by what she went through in high school and was very well coached, and I think that makes a difference. And then, she's out there, she communicates, she knows the game, and the thing about Allie is she doesn't allow people to drop off and get too frustrated with themselves. If you notice, if somebody makes a mistake or they miss a bunny or they foul somebody, Allie's one of the first ones over there grabbing them, encouraging them, and not allowing them to look in the past. She's always trying to redirect them and take care of what's going on right now.
And I think something that really stands out in that response to me is the leadership of Allie Treckler. And right now, that team is a team that is in need of that leadership, that voice. That, it's one thing when your coach gets in your ear and tells you what you need to do. When you hear it from one of your peers, one of your teammates, and somebody can step up and give you that guidance, it's a huge thing for not only that individual player, but for the team as a whole.
That's kind of what her makeup is as a player. I mean, going back to when I covered her in high school, CM had made a super sectional one year, and it looked like they were going to go to state. This was her senior year. She picked up some ticky-tack fouls. She ends up with four. She's on the bench down the stretch, and they were playing Rochester, and Rochester started coming back on them. And instead of sitting down on the bench and pouting that she wasn't in the game like you would imagine probably most high school students would do, maybe not most, but some of them do, she stood up and was standing right next to the coaches, directing the girls where to go, telling them to pick up screens, screaming at them. She was helping coach the team. She was doing that the other night, being back, because I mentioned that to Paula too. She's a floor general. I mean, she's pointing out, hey, pick up that over there. I mean, her communication skills that might be her greatest asset, her greatest skill as a basketball player, are her communication skills to bring the team together and keep them at a high energy, when keep all our teammates at a high energy, picking them up, you know, doing all the things that she needs to do, that she can help make the team a cohesive unit.
And Bill, that's a noticeable quality that I saw from her as a freshman, calling a lot of SIUE's games. It was it really stood out to me. It was something that is odd, not odd, but rare to see from a freshman willing to step into a Division I program, coming from a smaller school like Bethalto, even though Civic Memorial, she's from Bethalto,
right,
in a school that is very well respected, but a smaller school, and really step in there and assert herself immediately and have those communication skills. And I think that is the reason why Paula Buescher went after her and wanted her for her program, is that she saw those leadership skills. She saw somebody who's willing to communicate. And if you ask any coach, what's the most important quality for a team defense to have? It's communication.
Absolutely. And, you know, going a step further, I'm friends with the trainer who trains the team. Todd Locks is a Bethalto guy. He owns Pride Fitness down in Wood River. And, you know, Todd would tell me that when they were doing their training stuff, Allie, she's athletically gifted, just God-given talents. She'd pick up on things right away. If there was a girl, maybe, you know, one of the girls that was kind of at the end of the bench that maybe wasn't quite as athletic and had trouble with some of the workouts and picking things up, Todd said before I could even get a chance to go over and work with this girl individually, Allie's over there picking them up, motivating them, showing them what they need to do, and working with them one-on-one. She just really, really picks up on that. She is the consummate team player.
And one of the reasons why you were out there, Bill, was to witness and experience Education Day, which unfortunately got moved to next week. But here's what Allie Treckler had to say about Education Day and what it means not only to her as somebody who has younger people looking up to her and the role that she is, that she's in, but the entire team.
I love Education Day. I know so many of the middle schoolers, whether it's through basketball, through track, through FCA. I mean, there's a lot of different ways that I know them. Some of them are my neighbors. Just knowing that I know these kids that are coming to watch, and then all my former teachers that I've had, it's really fun to play in front of them.
So again, that goes back to the community aspect of what Education Day does for SIUE, and how it brings everyone together, and just how exciting it is to have those stands packed with young people that have a chance to experience, a lot of times for the first time, Division I basketball in an atmosphere where players are embracing them like they are.
Yeah, I was a little bummed that it got canceled. I was kind of excited to see it all. I mean, you know, Steve Porter, who works out there at the college now and helping out the sports department, you know, one of my good friends and my mentor, you know, Steve said on that day, I mean, that place is completely packed with these kids, and it's just such an electric atmosphere. And, you know, I was kind of just hoping to see that and seeing the excitement. I mean, that's really what sports are all about. I mean, nobody wants to listen to us old guys, you know, sit around and, you know, hoop it up. It's more about the children and them watching. That's what it is for the players, I think. They don't care about, you know, old man fan. They care about the little kid fan and trying to show them, you know, give them something to aspire to be.
We've talked about Education Day being great for the university, not just from an athletic standpoint also.
Mm-hmm.
But getting
Correct.
Families and kids on the campus, seeing the university, I think is a boon for everybody associated with the area. So congratulations to SIUE for pulling that off.
It's a genius public relations move.
It really is.
No doubt about it. And, you know, I'm sure everyone almost has that story of how they got drawn into sports. There's almost one experience when you were a younger kid and you had something happen where, I know for me, it was for the first time going to Camp Randall the stadium that holds the University of Wisconsin football team, seeing 80,000 fans packed in there and just the noise that was made. Everyone's got that story of how they got involved in the community of sports and how it brings people together. And we want to hear from you. Let us know your stories and we'll get you out on the show. We'll let everyone hear your stories, because there's tons of cool stories like that out there that spark from things like Education Day that SIUE holds. So moving on, we've got some SIUE women's tennis news. I know, Dave.
The Cougars defeated Butler yesterday 7-0 to move to 4-1 on the season. Their only loss has been to the University of Illinois, and they're taking on McKendree today. 3-1 on the year, taking on McKendree today. But they looked good yesterday. They played well. Reading Coach Albertson's comments in social media and looking at the box scores, they won several three-set matches, and they're off to a great start. So congratulations to the Cougars, to the women's tennis program on a really terrific start to their season.
No doubt a terrific start to their season, and that program as a whole is moving in the absolute right direction. It's been very impressive what they've done these last few years to really get that program moving in a positive way to where they want to be ultimately. And moving on to some McKendree news, their women's wrestling team is ranked number one. And guys, we had a pretty interesting conversation off air of what do you think would happen if, you know, you had one of these top high school men's boys teams taking on a McKendree women's team? And maybe this is a dumb conversation to have, but it's interesting, I think.
It's tough to take a side. I'll put it to you that way. But we'd get a pretty packed house.
I think we would too. I think the intrigue would certainly be there. I think maybe more wrestling purists would turn their nose up at something like that. They might think that they already know what the result is going to be, but it's interesting, you know? I mean, you're thinking you got boys and the strength and the power, and my assertion was kind of that I think people don't understand sometimes how technique-based wrestling is. The bigger, stronger, of course, they play in right. The same weight class, but how much the technique can make up for brute force in a sport like wrestling.
It can, and you know, with me covering the high school sports the way I do, to go back to that, is right now IHSA does not have a women's division. I see a lot of girls wrestling boys at the high school level, and I've seen some girls win against some decent wrestlers. I just witnessed that a couple weeks ago with an Alton wrestler. Antonia Phillips is a freshman, and she beat a Roxana kid who just qualified for the sectional.
Plays football, right, also? Does she not?
I'm not sure if she does or not. She may.
I think she does.
I'm not sure. I don't remember. She wasn't playing at the varsity level this year, obviously, as a freshman.
I'm pretty sure that Alton had two girls on their football team this year. And I think
I don't remember her playing. You might be right though.
Yeah. So, but I think the story is not who would win a high school boys team versus the McKendree women's team. I think the story is McKendree women have a wrestling team and they're number one in the country.
Yeah, it's becoming a bigger deal.
It's a big deal. It's a big deal. And I'm happy for those girls that wanted to wrestle. And I wonder how many of them wrestled on a boys team in high school and how many of them had girls teams on which they wrestled. So I'm happy that they're number one in the country and that they have their own program. And I think it's a fantastic story.
It's helping push women's wrestling, which is a big deal. So Chris Kuznarek, who's the athletic director at Alton now, he used to be the athletics director at Collinsville, and in between he was at McClure North over in Missouri. Missouri actually has a women's division now. They go to state. McClure North finished third, I think, last season in the women's division. So this is something that the IHSA is starting to have conversations about, as more girls are wrestling in Illinois, that they're wanting to do a varsity women's division. We might see that here in the near future, and it's just growing another sport for girls to be able to play, and I think it's a great thing.
as they should look into it, the IHSA. I mean, I had a conversation with John Bunyard, a guy that I called some football games with on the Missouri side this past year, and I asked him, because he's a huge wrestling guy, I asked him, what's the big story in wrestling right now? And he told me the way that women's wrestling is starting to catch fire in this area. And it's a huge deal for these teams to start popping up. McKendree Women's Wrestling, we've already talked about, they're kind of setting that standard of look, we can have this on this side of the river in the Illinois Metro East area, and there's interest. There are a ton of people that want to get involved, and it's something that they're going to have to take action with soon.
And it's kind of intriguing to me that the women's sport is growing when on the boys' side, the numbers keep dwindling a little bit. I mean, even yesterday at the 3A regional, there were some open spots in those weight classes that you wouldn't have seen several years ago. So,
I don't know that those numbers are dwindling. I don't know that. I saw a huge Scholastic youth wrestling tournament at Edwardsville High School about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, just be down at the moment, but
so you may
they're
you
not
may,
filling weight classes like they were, and I mean, I wish they will, and if youth wrestling's coming back like that as well, maybe those numbers will increase again, but it's been hard sometimes, especially at the small school level, to fill 14 weight classes, you know. So it's, you know, I'm not trying to disparage anything. I want to see it come back, you know, and I think this deal with the way the women's wrestling is growing can help it come back too a little bit.
So certainly an interesting conversation to be had there. And again, we want your input. Go to the MetroEastSportsPodcast.com and get your comments in there. Go to our Facebook page. Get your comments in there. Be a part of the conversation. And this is something that I think is going to continue for many weeks and something that we will have more conversations about. So we will get what you have to say out there on the air and continue to have this very intriguing conversation. But McKendree's men's volleyball team had their biggest win of their history. Really, this program started in 2014, and Nikki Sandlin has done an incredible job building this program from nothing. And now they go out, they beat Lewis University, the number 6 team in the nation last week. So a huge win for them. And something to watch again with McKendree men's volleyball team really starting to take things by storm is they have had an incredibly impressive start to the year, 7-4. They've knocked off multiple ranked teams. So that's something that we'll watch moving forward as well. And of course, McKendree men's hockey team had a good result once again against Northern Illinois. They took them down 6-1 this past weekend. And Gary Henson, the head coach for the McKendree men's hockey team, has deep roots in this Metro East area. And I talked to him and just wanted to pick his brain about what it's been like for him and his experience in this Metro East area. Here's what he had to say.
I grew up in Granite City playing hockey, golf there. College, marriage led me to a couple jobs and led me to Collinsville, where I taught and coached baseball, hockey, and golf, as you know, for about 12 years. And McKendree was recruiting my son for golf, and I said something in passing about their hockey program and how it could be different and changed. And hockey, golf there.
Oh, that's my bad. Just cut off the audio. But he just had some really interesting things to say moving through the area. He also coached golf, hockey, and baseball at Collinsville High School, and now he's at McKendree doing great things with a Division I program there, moving them in the correct direction. And they've got, he mentioned at one point in that soundbite that they have players from 10 different countries from all over the world. So they are growing that program and getting a lot more involved. So really fun things happening with McKendree men's hockey is they played that game at the McKendree Metro Recplex, which is located right on the edge of O'Fallon, and it's a really fun place, a $30 million facility. If you've never been out there, you need to go check it out. It's incredibly impressive, the amenities that they have there. They've got swimming there. They've got two hockey rinks. They've also got a surplus of areas. I know there was a birthday party going on in the back when I was there, so all kinds of fun things to check out there. So if you haven't, you need to head out to the McKendree Metro Recplex and see what that's all about. So that'll do it for our college report here. And in the pros, the Gateway Grizzlies season is quickly approaching. And I know, Dave, you've got some interesting information to get out there on the Grizzlies.
Well, their season starts on Cinco de Mayo. That'll be a party there, I'm sure, for the Grizz. And tickets are on sale now, and they've got a Valentine's Day special going on. But I know that the Grizz are busy preparing for another successful season, and I think the Grizzlies have become a really important part of the summer sporting landscape in the Metro East area.
Yeah, it's fun times there. If you guys have been to a game, I'm sure you both have. Have you been to a game before?
Of course,
Dave?
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, it's extremely fun going to those games. It's a very family-oriented atmosphere. And right. One of the guys that I worked with at 101 ESPN, he's since moved on to a news anchoring job, sports news anchoring job. He was the hype man for the Grizzlies. And going out there and watching him just fire up the crowd, you know, all the silly antics that they've got going on, it's a situation where you can bring young kids and they will be very entertained. And something that's so much fun, I think, about the Grizzlies is the interaction that the players have with the fans. They're more than willing to sit down and have a conversation with your young child. They're a big baseball fan and say, you know, They want to meet Yadier Molina so bad and talk with him and pick their brain about baseball. Well, these guys on the Grizzlies, they're willing to have that conversation with your kid. Right. So you need to head out to the ballpark and check out what the Gateway Grizzlies have to offer if you haven't yet, because the atmosphere is incredible. The welcoming, just kind of personality that everyone within that organization has is something that they can truly be proud of.
And grab yourself a All-American burger while you're there too. I did a food review on that one time. I did a food review on that a few years ago. Have you had that, Dave?
No.
You know what I'm talking about?
No.
So it's a cheeseburger with bacon on it, and then it's got Krispy Kreme donuts as buns. They turn the donuts upside down, they cut it in half, and the glaze from the donut melts into the cheese and bacon in the burger. It's very healthy for you.
So my thing is, I put all that in a Vitamix blender and drink it so it's a smoothie, and then that means it's healthy.
Yes, there you go.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. That's all you got to do.
What color does that smoothie end up being, Dave?
You don't want to know. But let's talk about the baseball in Alton too. So we've got the Grizzlies this summer, and then we've got a new baseball team.
Right, prospect league team. So it's not professional. The Grizzlies are an independent professional team. This prospect league team will be a semi-pro team. It's more like, I guess in comparison, like Legion Ball for college.
Okay.
So, but you're looking at a very high level, you know, of... when I used to work for the Bluff City Bombers, we were part of the Central Illinois Collegiate League, which is what the Prospect League has become now. What you'd see maybe the difference between the Frontier League, where the Grizzlies is at, and the CICL, the pitching's probably a little bit better in the CICL, and the hitting's better in the Frontier League, because a lot of those CICL guys will end up getting drafted. The Frontier League guys are the guys that kind of slip through from the draft. So you can get some pretty good power hitters there, you know, and stuff in the Frontier League. But anyway, to back to the league in Alton, the league's going to start up in 2021. It's going to be played at Lloyd Hopkins Field inside Gordon Moore Park there in Alton. They have not got a name for the team yet. It will be, like I said, part of the Prospect League. So, well, the CICL has combined with that. The CICL had Mike Schmidt played in that league, Kirby Puckett. When I worked for the Bluff City Bombers, who played in Alton from 98 to 2004, Ryan Howard was in that league, Jonathan Papelbon, Tom Gorzolani, that played for the Pittsburgh Pirates. I don't know if you guys remember that name. So there was some good players. Three Bombers players went on and played Major League Baseball during their time there. So We're hoping we can recapture some of that in Alton with this team. And it's the same type of thing as the Frontier League and the Grizzlies, where it's very interacting with the fans, on-field promotions, all kinds of quirky stuff. You know, it's more than just baseball there. It's an entertainment factor. You know, it's different than going to a Cardinals game. You know, you're there for the on-field thing. It's on-field plus so much more with these teams.
And in a baseball-rich area where so many people are diehard Cardinal fans, just more baseball to get your hands on and something that is exciting for the fans. And moving on to the Edwardsville Futures, I know, Dave, you've got some news regarding that event.
Well, the Edwardsville Futures is in its 10th year, and it's been in August every year for the previous 9 years. But this summer, the Pro Circuit moved the tournament to the week of June 29th through July 5th. So that's a major change. It's going to be about a month earlier than it's been. And all of us associated with the tournament are excited to see what we can do over the 4th of July weekend. On July 4th, we'll have a doubles final. That'll be our family day once again, like it's been for the last several years. And then we'll have our men's final on Sunday. So our singles final on Sunday. So we're hoping that people have some vacation time for the 4th of July and are able to come out and check out professional tennis. Our players have gone on to win over 50 titles on the ATP Tour. So it's a futures tournament because these guys are literally the future of the ATP Tour.
And Dave, I think something that kind of escapes a lot of people in terms of the futures is the level of tennis that's going on. As somebody who is in love with the game, I think it's one of the greatest sports out there just from the mixture of athleticism that it takes, the strategy involved in the sport. To see these guys do this at such a high level is just truly astounding. And I think a lot of people don't understand that there are players from all over the world that are competing in the Davis Cup for their countries. There are national champions that are playing in these events. And if you're not even a tennis fan, if you are a fan of sports, you have to check this event out. It is the very best of the best. And guys that are right on that precipice of making the ATP Tour.
They're right there. These are the best young 20-somethings in the world. These guys are, I think the highest ranked player we've ever had was about 160 in the world. But we've had multiple players go on to do big things in slams. John Peers is a Wimbledon doubles champion, and he won our tournament our first year. Of course, Tennis Sandgren
right.
has had two really great runs at the Australian Open, and he's top 50 in the world right now.
He's great. He's yeah. a great player. I mean, he won Godfrey and Edwardsville back-to-back right. on the Futures Tour. That's pretty unheard of, too.
So, you know, these guys are amazing. When you walk around, it feels like you're at the U.S. Open. The level of play is that high, and yes, people are surprised at when they see these guys how athletic they are, how hard they hit the ball, and yet how in control they are. It's a fantastic event. And what you were talking about earlier about the accessibility of the players in these two baseball leagues, same thing with these tennis guys.
Right.
They'll sit and they'll chat with you after their match, oftentimes, not always. But they're very accessible for an autograph or a picture. A lot of them stay with families in our area. Many of them stay in our local hotels, but sometimes they get to really know the families locally very well. That's happened for years, going back to the Futures in Godfrey. So a lot of these guys really make strong ties in the area, and that's fun to see also.
So don't forget that the Futures tournament dates have moved this season, used to them being in August. Dave, why don't you give us those dates one last time?
June 29th through August 5th. And for more tournament details, you can check out
July 5th.
Sorry. June 29th through July 5th. And for more tournament details, you can check out EdwardsvilleFutures.com.
So that is what we have for you here today. Again, broadcasting from the Lineup Media Group studios. Don't forget that you can stream this show live on Yo Radio. Get involved with the show. We'll answer your comments and questions that you may have live on the show. So make sure you get those in. We'll give you a shout out. You can go to the App Store now and find it at yoradio.com. Remember to go to our website at MetroEastSportsPodcast.com. We've got rankings up there for the different high school sports. We want to hear your input on that, as well as you can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. So, again, the biggest thing, we want to hear from you, the audience. Your input is extremely valuable to us, and we want to make you a part of this show. I am Colin Surrey, Dave Leip, Bill Roseberry. This has been the Metro East Sports Podcast.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.